Accession number 27188, Reel 4.
Major Idhammer, Reel 4. You were saying there was quite a lot of threats in Kabul. What sort of threats?
Especially maybe car bombs, rocket attacks. Not so much suicide attacks. But still, the two last days I was in Kabul, it was two suicide attacks. First, at two Canadian cars, and one Canadian soldier lost his life the day after, and the day before I went home. It was a British soldier killed in the same kind of attack. I remember shortly after I came there, in September the 11th, there were some rockets coming, and they hit, in fact, the camp on the other side of the road, and very closely to a Canadian living facilities. So, but most of the time it was, it wasn't any accident or things like that.
What was the state of mind and the morale like of the Norwegian troops in Afghanistan?
Afghanistan is, of course, very different from Bosnia, and especially at the time of NATO, because it was we had to stay very it was a lot of warnings, so we needed to have all supports we could have. And it was not so, we couldn't walk around, drive around in the dark without having at least two cars.
Did the Norwegian troops in Afghanistan have confidence in what they were doing? Do you think they thought that things in Afghanistan were improving?
Yes, I think so. I think the CIMIC was, of course, I was also going with them several times, and they were also giving help for building schools, health project and things like that. So they were meeting the local population or having meeting with local political and also religious leaders. So they could see things happening. Quite a lot, but still, it's very hard to see if we will succeed in Afghanistan. And of course, the biggest problem is that if you are just staying in Kabul, it's not possible to do what we want, and it's not so easy to go. To do the same all over Afghanistan, because it's a big country and you have very different regions all around in Afghanistan.
Did you ever manage to get outside Kabul and go?
Just a bit north from Kabul, then the CIMIC, where the CIMIC were working, and also to Bagram, a bit north for Kabul.
In your dealings with the Afghan population and their religious leaders, what impression did you get of them and of their expectations for the future?
In Kabul, it was they were building quite a lot of things, new things. And so I think the population was very happy with having IFO there and or ISAF, of course.
Yes.
And They were. Having a hope for the future, but it's like I think it's when you have been at war in 20-25 years, I don't think they are watching in the future. They are just helping themselves, trying to earn money and stay today. They are not thinking so much about the future.
So short term.
Yes, very much.
Do you have any idea about what the long-term prospects are for Afghanistan, having been in Kabul at this stage?
Yes, of course. I was reading quite a lot and talking with the personnel. We also had a lot of lectures. So I was working for that. So I think I and all the battalion, or all the Norwegian soldiers, did know quite a lot about the mission and what we were working for. But also that this was very difficult. In many ways, they are trying to make Afghanistan to a country that's never been before. Because it's they have never had a very strong capital in the middle. The region were helping themselves in many ways. So what is happening in Afghanistan, I don't know. It's very hard. And I think it's really important that the NATO and or the international community are supporting them quite a lot.
Did the soldiers feel that they were welcome in Kabul and that they were doing something that was appreciated?
Yes, I think so, mostly. But also you can find areas that it was not so... they were not so welcome to. Maybe because they have had a lot of Taliban support before the war, so on. So you can see changes, of course, no different.
What about your own contacts with the local religious leaders? How did you get on with them and the local rulers?
We had a few meetings with the chaplains in the ISAF and the local mullahs. So this was just kind of in the starting phase.
Yes.
But we were trying to have a communication with them.
Was there a basis for mutual understanding and cooperation?
Yes, I think so. Of course, at the first meeting, they were talking very much that they were all against fundamentalism. And of course, this was mullahs even joining. They were not Taliban mullahs. Most of them had been abroad during the Taliban time or in the northern part of Afghanistan. But still, of course, they are very conservative in thinking about women, for instance. And
how did their thinking compare with that of the mullahs that you'd met earlier in Bosnia?
Bosnia and also the mullahs in Bosnia was much more European than in Afghanistan. Big difference.
Could it be that the difference is really a difference of location and culture rather than one of anything else, of religion?
Yes, it's about the culture, local history, of course.
Must have been much more difficult then to deal with them than the mullahs in Bosnia,
there have been fewer points of contact. Many of them were very nice and open people, persons. So it was not any problem to have contact with them if you had, of course, you needed an interpreter.
Yeah.
Language was a problem in that way. But it's a very big distance between the Islam understanding in Afghanistan and the European understanding of I think almost everything.
Now you mentioned the chaplains from ISAF. What other countries were in ISAF?
Almost every country had their own chaplains. Oh. Even small countries. Mm-hmm. So we had a meeting, in fact, once a week, led by one of the Canadian chaplains, because they were in the charge then.
Well, they're in overall charge of the force, or
yes.
How did your soldiers get on in Afghanistan for matters of welfare and so forth? Did you have more or less personal and welfare difficulty in Afghanistan or than in Bosnia?
It was a completely different unit in Kabul. Much more professional soldiers. So that's a big difference. But of course, in Bosnia, it was possible to go abroad, to go to kind of vacations. It's kind of 60 hours or something like that. That was not possible in Kabul. So, but the units were more professional soldiers, but because they were not so many, that they're not working in the military at home.
Were they more robust in their approach to life generally?
Of course, it's a big difference between the Telemark battalion and the hospital and the CIMIC. Then you could prepare more with the force in Bosnia, of course. But I think both of them were prepared for that. Most of them had been out before in different places. So I think it was a kind of robust unit.
When you came back, again, what do you think you had learned from going out to Afghanistan and serving there?
I anyway learned that it is very difficult to get a solution in Afghanistan. It will take time anyway, a lot of time. I have learned a lot about Afghanistan and the era. I learned more about the religion in that era.
But what you said about that is that they are much more conservative. Is that the overall impression?
Or anyway, another tradition. It's much more like the Middle East way of living. But of course, still, it's. I also learned that the Afghan people worked very hard and were friendly people. I was told in the beginning that the Afghan people didn't make suicide because they want to talk about things afterwards. I don't know if that's true, but they were very friendly, in my experience. But of course, there's a lot of different traditions. For instance, it's behaving in a military way. Also, I think we have talked about a lot of things. So, I don't know. Anyway, not at this moment.